Amen. Could we have all the dads stand? We pray that you will have texts and phone calls and you'll be appreciated today. And we appreciate you and pray that you'll stand strong in your role, wherever it is, wherever your kids are, however old they are. May you continue to be the light that God has called you to be. Amen. We love you so much. You can have a seat. Gentlemen, all right. Isn't it sweet how different the announcements for the ladies' conference and the men's conference are? Aren't you glad God made us different? All right. So, a couple things just to make note of in the announcements you just heard. Vacation Bible School, so this is the first one that's going to be full 5 days since COVID. So you heard that there's a cap at 1,000, and that means 1,000, not 1,001, in case you're married to a minister or member of parliament. It's still 1,000, okay? So here's my, and this is not meant to be funny, but I'm begging you, sign up now. Sign up this week or next week, because it will fill up. Other churches know about VBS here, and we don't restrict it, but we don't want you to miss out, parents, okay? But if you wait, there won't be a place for your kids. And then then there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and begging and pleading, and it's always the same. We don't want you to have to go through that. So I'm begging you, please, please, please do that. And please bring your neighbor kids, bring friends of your friends' kids. It's going to be wonderful. Then secondly, you saw the announcement out, but bereavement care. So if you've been through a bereavement, there's been a funeral in your family or a close friend, this is for you, and it will help give you biblical perspective, but you'll also be with other people that understand you, and it'll bring great, great healing. So please take advantage of that. All right. As Pastor Benjamin said, we're going to start a new sermon series, and it's the prayers of the Bible. The prayers of the Bible. We all pray, don't we? We all pray, but we can learn from people in the Bible who prayed. What did they pray about? How did they pray? What were the results of their prayers? And so we're going to go through a number of these, and it certainly won't be exhaustive, but it's going to be wonderful. And what we believe God's going to do in our life is it's going to stimulate our prayer life. It's going to focus our prayer life. We're going to be more biblically centered in our prayer life. Okay? So there are patterns that we're going to see that we can implement. So, let's start off in James chapter 5. So this is not necessarily a prayer, it's an exhortation to pray. But let's look at this as we get started. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let them pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And here's an example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So, did you notice, if you were watching on the screen, in yellow, in six verses, there's seven times where we're talking about prayer and praying. Okay, and what this passage is saying, one of the things it's saying is respond to life's problems with prayer. Are you sick? Pray. Are you suffering? Pray. Have you sinned? talk to somebody, pray. Involve God in your problems. Involve God in your suffering. Okay? And I like what it starts off. It says, is anyone among you suffering? You're not rebuked for it. But what is our response? Pray. Talk to God. Okay? And then that summary statement is that, this is something if you've been a Pentecostal any length of time, we know this verse. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much, avails much. Now, the other translations that I would think are more accurate here, ESV says that prayer has great power in its working. Okay, so the effective fervent prayer, it has great power. Now, whose power? Now, certainly not your power. Okay, it brings God's power into the suffering, into the sickness, into the sin problem. New Living Translation says that this prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. I've heard sometimes people talk about prayer, and they, when they talk about prayer, they talk about how prayer changes the person who prays, that it causes us to pause and reflect and think about God. Amen. But that's not why we pray. We pray because God does something when we pray. All right? It brings God's power into the situation, and there are wonderful results. And then there was an example of amazing results of Elijah. So if you go back into his story, and this was by the instruction of God, by the leading of God, and he prayed and it stopped raining. And then he prayed again and it started raining. And it's very interesting. If you look at that verse, it says that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What it doesn't say is that Elijah used his mystical, magical prophet powers. Huh? In order to do something like that, you need to be a seer one, two, or three. But if you're a seer four, don't even forget about it, all right? Higher levels, stronger devils. Nonsense, crazy, foolish, unbiblical. No, Elijah was a man. He was a human like who? Like us, exactly. He's a human and he prayed and something huge happened. And then he prayed again and something huge happened. Now, who did it? God. But who prayed? A person like us. And so what this is, it's an invitation that you don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to be a 20-year Christian with, you've gone to 500 prayer seminars. You can pray and God hears and answers and things will happen when you pray. Amen? So, let's go to the example we're going to see today. And we're going to go to Acts, the fourth chapter. And there is a wonderful prayer there that produced wonderful results. And we're going to learn from that today. Now, let's get to the background of this. So Acts chapter 4, Jesus has done his work on the earth. He's ascended to his Father, but before he ascended, he gave the Great Commission. And that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everybody, to every creature. And so, Acts chapter 2, they received power to do that task, and they began to do it. And so Peter preached the first sermon of the New Testament. 3,000 people are saved, and things started happening. And Peter and John went to the temple to pray, as they were used to. And there on the gate called Beautiful, I believe it's on the eastern side of the temple wall, they saw a man begging, and he had been there some time. It is very likely that Jesus saw the same guy, all right? And so they went through that gate, and the man approached Peter, said, asked for alms, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, meaning I know I have something, I give you, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. And the man went leaping and praising God. Did you sing that song growing up? All right. And he did. And so they got called in to the Jewish leaders, the same people who helped orchestrate the death of Jesus. They didn't, because when they killed Jesus, they thought it's the end of Jesus. And now we've got people acting like Jesus. And they didn't like losing their power. They didn't like losing control. They thought they had figured it out. And so they threatened them. So let's pick up that conversation. Acts 4, verse 14. And they're quizzing the guy. They're quizzing Peter and John. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, these are the Jewish leaders, what shall we say to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. What name? The name of Jesus. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. Meaning, how many, there is an answer to that question. Okay. It was just kind of being somewhat subtle. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So how'd the threatening go? Didn't work. So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. So they were threatened. They were obeying Jesus. They were following Jesus. And now they have a problem, and it's a significant problem, isn't it? So here's the thing. In life, while you're obeying Jesus, while you're following Jesus, you will have problems. Some of the problems will be because you're following Jesus. Because you're obeying Jesus. Oh, Jesus, why did this happen? Because you're following me. Yay. All right, that's just in the Bible, folks, right? All right. Now, they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. They said, we listen to God and not to you, all right? And so what they're going to be praying about is, God, help us to obey you in spite of suffering. God, help us to obey you in spite of people threatening us, okay? So the command of obedience came from Jesus himself. Look at Luke 24, 47, and the different versions of the Great Commission in the Gospels. This one is pretty relevant for Acts 4. Luke 4, 24, 47, and that repentance, this is Jesus speaking, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You can't skip Jerusalem. You got to start there. And then it's going to grow from there. And so we're going to be preaching in his name to everyone. So Jesus told us to do this. So, God, we're going to need your help to obey you. All right. So this is a prayer that I think you and I will be praying along these lines for the rest of our life. For the rest of our life. God, I know what you said. I know that you said that you abhor and that dishonest scales are an abomination to you, God. Lord, but it seems like the only way I can pay school fees is to cheat ZRA. God, help me. God, I need your power. God, I need your boldness. Amen? Hallelujah. Men who went to the men's conference, brave, decisions, godliness. Boy, it starts as we fall on our knees before our King Jesus. Jesus, help me. Help me to do this. Okay, so let's pick up the prayer in Acts chapter 4. All right, so I want to read the whole thing, and then we're going to go back and see how we can apply this in our life. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, so this is Peter and John, being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. And with one accord, and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is them in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand against the rulers and were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. That's a direct quote from Psalm 2. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So that's the end of the prayer. And here's the initial response. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a second, that sounds like Acts chapter 2. Yep. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What was the prayer? Lord, may we speak your word with boldness. And they spoke the word with boldness. Wow, that was fast. Took one verse. Okay. So, let's look at principles of this prayer that we can incorporate into our prayer life today, tonight, this week, the rest of our life. Okay, first of all, the prayer that they prayed was Bible saturated. It was Bible saturated. It was filled with Scripture. Do you see that? Remember when a few years ago when I read to you the dangerous prayers? Lord, may the woman whose my husband is sitting on her lap, may she have a somersault and die. That is not at all biblically saturated. It is extra biblical. In fact, it is non-biblical. It is actually opposite Bible. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. All right, and if you came to Brave Men's Conference, husbands, you know that that's not your wife's prayer. It's your prayer, isn't it? All right? And if she's sitting on your lap, you don't need to pray. You just need to get out of the room. Okay. All right. Okay. Leave the men's conference. Walk away. All right. Okay. Bible-saturated prayer. Bible-saturated prayer. So what did they pray that was Bible-saturated? Okay. Well, they said, God, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Where'd they learn that? Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and then it's repeated all throughout the Hebrew Bible. We call it the Old Testament, okay? And then they quoted directly from Psalm 2. So they put into context what they were going through, realizing that it was predicted in our Bible that people would come against the Messiah, that people would come against your plan, God. And so we're not even surprised that this is happening because you said it would happen. Okay, so they were already aware, biblically, of what they were facing. Okay? So to me, you know, when you get a doctor's report, all right, and there's a sickness or a disease in your life or your family's life, you better already know what the Bible says about sickness. Because it is clear, it is not two ways about it, what clearly the Bible teaches about sickness. Okay? So that's got to be in your heart. All right? So they understood their situation in the light of God's Word. They understood God in the light of God's Word. So what we believe about God has to come from the Bible. People have this saying right now, and maybe they'll argue about this. They'll argue about our response to certain things in the world or sin or social issues or whatever. And people say this. I've got a friend who says this. And they say, well, the Jesus I know. Whoa, 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 whoa. What do you mean the Jesus you know that you went to the ice cream shop with? Or that visited you in the middle of the night? No, no, no. The Jesus we all know only comes as a revelation from this book. Only. Only, only, only. All right? Then our experience must line up with this. Because even Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Amen? The Jesus I know is the Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the Jesus I know because what God wanted me to know about Jesus, He told me about Jesus. And obviously, Old Testament epistles refer back to Him and point to Him. Okay, so their prayer was full of the Bible. Now, here's a really, really important point I want you to hear. And that is, the Word was already in their heart before the problem hit. Listen to that again. The Word was already in their heart before the problem hit. That's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons we go to church regularly, habitually, regardless of who's preaching, regardless of the sermon series. Oh, I really like Proverbs. Prayer. I don't know. I think I'm going to go online with Stephen Furtick because, you know, I just kind of gets me excited. I love Stephen Furtick. But this is your church, unless you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, okay? Hello? So I regularly go to church. I regularly read the Bible. I regularly listen to songs like we heard today that are Bible-saturated, that get in my heart, so that my response to life's problems is, oh God, you made the heavens and the earth. Meaning the Jewish leaders didn't. Small guys, big God. Amen. God, I already know what you say about this situation. Amen. All right. So it must be in your heart for it to come out of your heart and out of your mouth through prayer. Okay. And the other thing I love about this prayer is not only was the Word of God in their heart, it was correctly applied. It was good Bible interpretation. Do you see that? Because people sometimes twist the Bible in very funny and weird ways. That has nothing to do about your situation. Amen? Like David killed Goliath. I will kill the man who's dating my ex-girlfriend. That is misapplied. That is misapplied. How dare he come against the armies of the living God? No, sorry, you're not the armies of the living God, okay? You gotta apply it, and they did it in this situation. They did it very well, okay? So what they realized was because of Jesus, because of God's redemption plan, the heathen will rage. Okay, somebody asked, and I love it in Psalm 2, it says, the question is, why did the heathen rage? The answer is, because they're heathen. Okay. Why do people who are against God come against God? Because they're opposed to God. All right, it's not a million-dollar question. All right, so Bible-saturated heart means you're going to have a Bible-saturated prayer. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Maybe you face something, and in a sense, it really takes you off guard. And, Lord, I'll be honest, I'm not 100% what, I don't know what to believe. Go to the Word. Go to people of the Word. Okay? Don't go to somebody's testimony. I love testimonies. Okay, but testimonies are just one way that one person went through that situation. It's not gospel truth. Okay, they can be encouraging. They can be misguided. Okay, all right. Bible, down in my heart, in my mind. Second thing we see from this prayer, and it was a kind of a prerequisite to the prayer, is that the first thing they did, and being let go, they went somewhere. They went to a group of people. They went to their own companions. The Old King James says they went to their own company. All right, they went to fellow believers. Okay, they went to fellow believers. And that is reason 1012 why every believer needs to be a part of a local church.
Well, Pastor, one of the things I've learned in COVID is we don't really need the local assembly. I love Jesus, but I don't believe in the local church.
That's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It's not an option. Okay, now, if Miracle Life is not your cup of tea, come and see me in the lobby. Tell me the kind of church you're looking for, and I will give you 5 options in Lusaka of what you're looking for. So stop with your excuses. Hello, online people. Stop with your excuses. I love you. Woo, I love you. All right. Get in a local church. Commit to a local church. Serve in a local church. Tithe in a local church. Pray with a local church. Because when you're in trouble, the online preacher is not going to help you. You've got to go into a room of believers and lift your voice to God. That's how it works. That's how it works. Can we supplement things? Yes. Thank God for supplements. And for books and TV and online. Great. Awesome. Whatever. Okay. They went to their own companions. Meaning, again, before the problem hit, they already had friends. They already had friends who believed God. They already had friends who knew who God was. They already had friends who had the Bible in their heart. Well, Pastor, I just go to my friend from high school. Well, he's not really a churchgoer, and he drinks and cheats on his wife, but, you know, he really listens to me. What is he going to help you with? Nothing. You will not be able to find the solution for your problem going to your drunk, adulterous friend. He will not help you. You've got to go to people who know Jesus and know his word. Amen. And so, these companions, along with Peter and John, now here's the thing, these were people who had been with Jesus. These were part of the inner three. Guess what? Pastors and leaders need companions. They need believers around them. Amen. All right. So, they believed something about God together. So, if Peter and John could have gone to the mountain, the two of them, and said, we are going to have an apostolic gathering, and the two of us will have an apostolic force field, and we will break those threatenings. can tell I watch too many of the Avengers movies, all right? All right? No, that's not what they did. They were believers, so they went with other believers and said, hey guys, here's what we just heard. Let's pray. Let's raise our voice to God. And go to verse 24 there. And it says, so as they began to pray, it says, so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. With one accord. All right. Other translation says this. They raised their voices together. So the idea of a choir, right? So we're all not praying about different things. There was united prayer focused on an agenda together. Amen? Where does that happen? It happens at a church. It happens at a connection group, doesn't it? Come on, connection group people. Does this happen in a connection group? Devil, you pick on me, you pick on my 9 buddies. And we all believe Jesus together. Okay? Then, the other thing we see about this prayer is that it was God-based, not problem-based. God-based, not problem-based. All right? So, it's very interesting. They told them what had just happened. And then in the prayer itself, so they magnify God, they talk about God, they talk about His plan. And then it doesn't even get a full sentence or a verse in verse 24. Go to verse 24. So when they heard that, I told you the wrong verse. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look at their threats. One phrase about the problem. And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. All right. So they magnify God. Did they talk about the problem? Yes. They did mention it. Did they take 5 hours to yell at the devil? Devil, where are you hiding? Oh, Pentecostal tradition and myth. Oh, we've got to steer away. Let's keep all the good. Amen. Let's keep all the good. But let's leave the myth and the unbiblical tradition with our grandparents. Okay? Lord, look at their threats. They didn't spend half the night talking about the problem. Okay? So, I think there's a balance. So, there are times where sometimes people think they're believing God by ignoring the problem or pretending that the problem doesn't exist or I don't want to talk about it. No, the problem is there. God knows it's there. Might as well talk to Him about it. Okay? But talk to God about His ability, His promises, and His answer for the problem. Not just describing the problem. Okay? So, you know, you not checking your bank balance does not make your financial problems go away. Oh, I don't even want to go to the ATM. No, that's weird. That's weird. No, go ahead and get the slip and say, God, behold their threatenings. You know, Lord, this is real, you know, but you're bigger. And I'm asking for your help. Okay? So faith is not denial, but just whining and moaning about the problem, that's also not faith. Okay? All right. So they raised their voices to who? To God. Okay, to God. So, all right, praying against the devil is not praying to God, right? Me talking to you about the problem is not prayer yet, is it? Now, they did that. They did, you know, they went to their own companions. Hey, companions, here's where we just went to. We want to talk about it, but then you got to stop talking and start praying. Okay. I can't tell you how many, quote, prayer meetings I've been to that were like about 3% prayer. 50% political speeches. It's not a prayer meeting. Okay? Pray. Talk to God. Lift your voice to Him. Amen? And I love. And I would give this to you as a biblical model, because we see it in a lot of Paul's prayers. We see it in the Lord's Prayer. How does he start off? Our Father. You are in heaven. Holy, holy is your name. Start by magnifying God. Start by proclaiming to God what you know to be true about God. Oh, to the only faithful and wise God. Oh, Paul would say this, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom all the families in heaven and earth are named. Ephesians 3. All right. So start every prayer, not in a religious way, but with a true heart worship and to magnify Him. Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. God, you are faithful. And again, let that part of it, like we saw, let it come from the pages of the Bible and deep from the recesses of your heart. All right? So God-centered prayer, and they were very aware of what He could do. All right? And then penultimate lastly. Now, I've told you that before, right? Anytime you can use the word penultimate, use it. Because it's awesome. All right. So, I didn't know that till I moved to Africa. Okay. They asked God for something specifically. Specifically. Okay. So, be specific in your request. Okay, James says, if you need wisdom, ask for wisdom, right? Wisdom for what? God, I'm facing the situations with my kids. And Lord, there's this high school situation. Lord, they're in university. And God, I've never done this before. God, I ask you for wisdom in this situation. I ask you, help me to know what to do about this. Okay, so they ask God for something specifically. And what this is amazing is that what they were praying about was not, God, I really, really want the red car and not the blue car. Okay? Honestly, I'm just not so sure that's a big deal to God. Okay? Now, if you want a red car, get a red car. All right? But what they were asking about was about God's kingdom agenda on the earth. This is something that God wants to be done. Preach the gospel to the whole world. Start in Jerusalem. So God, we want what you want, but there's a problem with what you want. When I was reading this, it reminded me of a prayer when we were in the old building, and it was kind of a behold their threatenings, but it was more than threatenings, but it was, Lord, behold their contracts. Okay, so we had no contract. We had no lease for our old building. And they didn't want to sell it to us. The people who owned the land didn't want us to be there. The building had been sold to another person who told us, you've got 2 months to leave. We had no land. Then we did have land that was tied up in court. And so the way I would pray was, God, you have a problem. I want you to be aware of, God, of a problem that you have. And I would pray this way. I say, God, you love this church more than I do. Your son's blood was shed for this church. My son's blood was not shed. And I have no plan on shedding my son's blood nor my blood. Okay. I don't like blood. All right. So, and I would pray about not just, and whew, was I stressed. Hey, was I, it would wake me up at night. But I would tell and talk to God about his deal on planet Earth. God, you have a plan for this church. You're a good shepherd. Jesus, you're the senior pastor. Holy Spirit, you're the one who leads and guides us. All right? So, in a sense, you kind of join with him about the problem. You join with him about the problem. God, you said in your word, with long life you will satisfy me and show me your salvation. God, I've got a long, long race to run with you and for you. And so, Lord, I'm not going to finish that race dying when I'm 27. So God, you said, amen? You said. All right, so and yes, there certainly is, you could say, that intersection of God's issue and yours issue because he's in your life. But then they asked for what was truly needed. They asked for what was truly needed. And what's very fascinating to me is, behold, their threatenings, but they never prayed against the threatenings. God, help us to respond to the threatenings. Because this is just my personal belief from the Bible. I'd say it's more than a personal belief. I think it's biblical. You can't pray against someone else's decision. They have a decision. They have a decision. Huh? There is a prayer where you pray against people. It's called witchcraft. It's demonic. And it's not for believers. Okay? So, God, help us to preach. Give us boldness. Lord, help us to obey you. They never prayed that the threats would stop. They never prayed that way. In fact, when the prayer got done and the prayer was answered, flip the page to the next chapter, they kept preaching, and this time they weren't threatened, they were beaten. Did it stop them? No. Did it stop Stephen? He preached, talk about a bold preacher. So he lost his life for this, when this prayer got answered, because he boldly preached. All right? And then Philip the evangelist boldly preached in Acts chapter 8. It was answered and answered and answered and answered. Okay? So we don't block people or try to manipulate people. God, help me. God, help me. Work what I can't do. All right? Lord, that I will respond well. And the prayer was marvelously, marvelously answered. If you just read in Acts chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, you could argue it was answered the rest of the book of Acts. But they did preach the word boldly. Signs and wonders were demonstrated. And people saw the power of God. Okay? The answer didn't happen when the room started shaking. All right? Now, I know that's kind of cool, right? The first shaking Church of Pentecost Glory International Tabernacle. Okay. But in a sense, that was just kind of a God showing up, all right? And I don't think we can necessarily specifically ask for that. But if there's a manifestation, that's awesome. But the answer happened when the room stopped shaking and they opened their mouth with boldness. When they prayed for the sick, when they stepped out in faith, okay? And so they were beaten, all those things happened, but God used them. So, Again, folks, let's apply this. Let's apply this in our life. Let's ask ourselves some questions. Today, if you get the call, if you get the email, do you have companions who know God well? Do you have companions that you can lift up your voice to God with them? Are they already in your cell phone? Okay? This is just my opinion, because if they're already in your cell phone, you don't have to put on Facebook, "Oh, please pray for me." I just write a few people on my WhatsApp and we're good to go, baby. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but you can't just randomly hope that people are going to pray for you. You got to know them. You remember the four friends that took the paralyzed man to Jesus? Because obviously a paralyzed man can't get to Jesus on his own. But do you have friends in your life that will cut a hole in the roof to get you to Jesus? Do they believe that much? All right. When that miracle happened, the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, are there people in your life that God can see collectively your faith together? Amen? All right. And then how the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell richly in your heart. Okay. It's got substance in your life, okay? Or is your only response to a problem, it's as well? I don't want to disappoint you, but that's not a Bible verse. It is well. That's not where you can settle your heart and expect God to move. Okay? Is it dwelling richly in your heart? And then maybe look back to the last two or three crises, the threats, when life showed up at your house, right? When the boom happened. What's your typical response? Was it this? Or, God, I realize it needs to be. I need to move in that direction. And I'm so grateful for these brothers and sisters in the family of God. They're not in my church family today, but they're in heaven today. And I'm going to learn from them. And I'm going to follow you better. Amen? Let's lift up our voice to God. Let's pray today. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you that you are God. And that you did make heaven and earth. You made us. You called us. You set us in life to do and to accomplish, and you gave us roles and responsibilities. And Father, I believe all of us know that in following you and following our roles and responsibilities, we face stuff and we face challenges. And so God, thank you so much for this example that we see today of people who knew you and responded in prayer. And Father, may we do that. And Lord, where we have, Lord, I know many, many, Lord, have. But Holy Spirit, bring these things to our remembrance. Help us to put some things in place to be ready for every uncertainty that comes our way. We love you in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're watching online, if you're participating, I want you to listen as well. See, those people had companions, didn't they? The Bible says that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a family. God is our Father. We're born from Him. And I want to talk to you today if you're not yet in the family of God. The family of God. Because we were all born into this world through parents, but we were also born with a spiritual heritage of sin, separation from God. And nothing can change that other than Jesus. I can't pray something on your behalf. If you were baptized as a baby like me, it didn't change your spiritual nature. The only thing that changes is when you put your trust in a Savior called Jesus Christ. When you bow your heart and your life before the rightful King and say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Wash me of my sins. I commit to follow you for the rest of my life. Thank you for your grace and your love. Maybe you're a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, and your heart and your life is far from God. But you know it's time to come home. It's time to be back in your Father's house. And there is healing, there's restoration, there's forgiveness for you. I'd like to pray with you. And if you say, Pastor, I'm not in the family of God, I know I need to be born again. Or I was a Christian, I walked with God, but I really don't know where I stand now. But I know I'm not right. I need to come home to a Father who loves me. I'd like to pray with you. And so that we can pray together, wherever you are in this auditorium, simply raise up your hand real, real high. Just raise it up and say, that's me. Pastor, I'm praying that prayer. I'm following Jesus. I'm coming home to Him. If that's you, just lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, please include me. I want to pray. I want to find Jesus and look to Him. Thank you. Thank you so much, ma'am. Anybody else who will join this and said, I'm going to make that decision. If you're watching online, you make that decision. Over here, thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir. Congregation, could we stand to our feet? Let's stand to our feet. And you lifted up your hand and you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Him with all my heart and with all my life. Grab your Bible, your belongings, whatever you came to church with, and come and meet me up front. Come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to change your life forever. Can we give these folks a big, big hand as they're coming? Just come over here, over here. Thank you, Lord. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I should be up here. I didn't raise my hand. Just come. Just come. He loves you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your commitment, your decision. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, sir. Just come. Thank you, sir. The Bible says that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And why don't we lift up one of our hands towards heaven? That in doing so, we're saying, God, I'm looking for your help. And pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I believe you sent your son Jesus to die in my place. He was raised from the dead. He paid my sin debt. He was punished for me. Thank you, Jesus. And I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Save me. Thank you that I'm in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. What a great, great day. Thank you so much. What we'd like if you would just follow Esther here, just to your left, we're going to go to a place of prayer. We'd like to give you a book and pray with you. Thank you so, so much. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. You can have a seat, congregation. As we get ready to go today, we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. If you need an offering envelope, the ushers would be happy to serve you. Just raise up your hand and they'll put an envelope in your hand. We have a number of different giving options online, mobile banking, and all those kinds of things are up there. You can go onto our website. I know many of you already do that, but that's a safe and secure way to make sure that your giving happens and you've got a record for it. But also you can use the envelope, and we'll have ushers that will have baskets on our way out as we go. And I wanted to draw your attention that, you know, when we give, Philippians 4 says that one of the results of our giving, There's things that you could say that happen in heaven, but there's things that happen on the earth. There are many thanksgivings to God. And as we saw some of these ministries that are going to be happening in the next couple months, the youth camp and Vacation Bible School, where we will minister to just hundreds and hundreds of young people and children, the fee that is there, it doesn't even cover half the cost. Where does the rest of the money come from? You. All right? We supplement that and we say, look, we want it to be affordable. We want ministry to happen for these kids and for these young people. We want to see God's word implanted in their heart forever. And so when they don't always come back to you to say thank you, but when they say thank you to Jesus, you have a part. And that's an amazing thing of what our giving can do, is it actually has something spiritual that happens on the earth and it affects the lives of people for eternity. Amen? And I don't know about you, but that seems to me more important than buying a pizza. All right? I'll probably buy a pizza tonight. But giving to Jesus is more wonderful. All right? And may that be from our heart to Him, and that we will see His kingdom established in the lives of people. Amen? So, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. As we go, Jesus, thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father, that you are accessible through prayer. We can now actually come boldly. We don't have to go through a priest at the temple. We don't have to go through a pastor or a prophet or a man of God or a woman of God. We can bow our knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only do you hear us, but you answer. You're involved in our lives. And Father, may we continue to do that. Lord, I'm so aware of the incredible testimonies that are in this room already of answered prayer. But may we never forget, may we continue to respond to every challenge, to every threat, to every problem in our life by turning our hearts and faces to you with people that love you. We love you in Jesus' name.